Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Moed Katan Daf Yud Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the bottom of Daf Yud Gimel Omid Beis, at the beginning of the new perek, the beginning of the third perek of Moed Katan. This perek is well known for the content involving rules concerning mourning. That's M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. In addition to that, the perek has other halachas that are related to Chol HaMoed as well. On the side of our Gemara, you'll notice we have a diamond featured, and it's under the Nosei Mivneh heading, the Nosei, the topic heading, Mivneh structural note. And the diamond highlights pu'ulois, different actions, shehutru, that we allow la'anoshim mesuyamim, to people under different circumstances. That's a very general comment, and the nature of this mission, in fact, is quite general. So, without any further ado, we start the Mishnah at the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis, v'elu megalchin b'moyed. The following are allowed to do, shave, megalchin is to shave, involving cutting of hair, on Chol HaMoed. Tosfos points out the elu megalchin b'moed mishum detona beidoch pirkin. Since we learned in the previous parak dvorim she'oisin letzorach hamoed, things that we do for the purpose of Chol HaMoed, for the purpose, for the benefit of the holiday, kamo mochre peros denasim kedin, the sale of fruits that are done properly, kotoni nami ve'elu nasim shelo kedin letzorach hamoed. Whereas in the previous perek, the sale of fruits was something that is a proper thing to do, kedin, meaning by letter of the law, it's an okay thing. Here we're going to deal with things that are shelo kedin, meaning shaving on Chol HaMoed is something that is not a proper thing to do. We'll see later in the Gemara the reason for that is, and we can say right now, is because we want people to clean themselves up and get ready properly before the holiday. If people know that they would be allowed to, let us say, shave during the holiday, so they'll figure, oh, I'll wait till the holiday to do that. But we want people to enter the holiday looking nice. So there are extenuating circumstances, and that's what the Mishnah will elaborate on, that a person couldn't have done it before the holiday. And since he couldn't have done it before the holiday, we make an allowance for him to do it on the holiday itself, on Chol HaMoed. So the Mishnah continues, the following we say are allowed to shave during the holiday, and they include Habo, Mimedina Sayam, Umibes HaShibya, someone who comes from abroad. He comes back on Chol HaMoed to town from traveling, when he couldn't have shaved during that time, only once he arrives home, but he arrives home on Chol HaMoed. So we allow him to shave. And someone who left captivity, Vayotzei Mibeis Asurim, someone who had been incarcerated, who left incarceration, where he couldn't have, for whatever reason, he couldn't have shaved during his incarceration, they don't let him do so, or for whatever reason. Tosfos makes mention of those possibilities. Nevertheless, he leaves his incarceration on Chol HaMoed, whereby, as we said, he couldn't have shaved beforehand. V'hamenuda shehitu lo chachomim. Menuda is someone who is in a form of excommunication, and only now has he been released from that state. So he can, and that takes and his release took place on Chol HaMoed. V'chein mi she'nish'al l'chocham v'hutar, someone who had vowed not to shave, and he had the vow rescinded on Chol HaMoed. That's nish'al l'chocham, literally means he sought the rescinding of the vow on Chol HaMoed, and he received that permission. Veha nozir, someone who had been a nozir, and as such, he could not shave. So that, he will say he left his naziru status, but there's more on this topic that will be discussed later in the Gemara. But suffice it to say, the nozir is someone who, while he is in a state of nazirus, cannot take a haircut. And it became possible for him on Chol HaMoed to now take the haircut. V'amitzora ha'olam mitumasa l'tarasa, someone who had been in a state of tzoras, and he now leaves his state of tuma. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Mitumaso l'tarasa, nazir tomei kishaolam mitumaso, a nazir who had become defiled and now leaves his defilement. V'shuv eno mishamir nizro. These are examples of people that could not have, they didn't have time to shave before the holiday. So this is their first opportunity, and therefore we make an allowance. The following are entitled to wash their clothing on Chol HaMoed, which is again an activity that ordinarily for ordinary people is not allowed. Habo mi medinas hayam, someone who came from abroad, umiveis hashvia, from captivity, vayotzei miveis hashom, someone who left incarceration. We continue at the top of Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. Ve'umenude shehitiru lo chachomim, the person who had been in a state of excommunication that was now relieved from that on Chol HaMoed. V'chein mi she'nish'al l'chocham v'hutar, likewise someone who had vowed not to wash his clothing and had that vow rescinded. Mitpochos hayodayim u'mitpochos hasforim. Mitpochos are pieces of material, fabric. You might term them as towels that were used for cleansing one's hands, or mitpachos that are used for sforim, for scrolls. There's more discussion about this later on. Umitpachos hasfag. Regarding mitpachos hasforim that we read, there's another girsa that reads it as hasaporim. These are cloths that barbers use to put over the customers, and they get dirty, and hence they can be washed on Chol HaMoed. And mitpochos hasfog, those are towels that people dry themselves after a bathhouse experience. Hazovin, v'hazovos, v'hanidois, v'hayoldos, these are all different kinds of tumah, people that have been in the state of tumah and need to wash their clothing now, during Chol HaMoed, they're allowed to. V'chol ha'olim mituma l'tara, people who left on Chol HaMoed a state of defilement and became tohor, hare elu mutorim, they're allowed to wash their clothing. U'sha'ar kol odam asurim, anyone else, though, is forbidden. So this Mishnah highlights haircuts, or let's say shaving, and washing of clothing. Two actions that are generally speaking forbidden for commoners. However, for these people that are listed in the Mishnah, they represent exceptions and are allowed to engage in either giluach or kibus begadim during Chol HaMoed. Another detail that we didn't mention earlier, but with regard to the people who are menudim, the excommunicated individuals, so while they are excommunicated, they're forbidden in engaging in giluach, in shaving. And hence, if they left their state of excommunication on Chol HaMoed, that's their first opportunity to shave, and hence they're allowed to. Ushar kol odom, the Gemara says, Ushar kol odom, my taimo asurim, why is it that others are forbidden? in these actions. We mentioned the reason for it when we learned the Mishnah, but here the Gemara asks the question. Now we have a bracketed section. The skipping of the brackets enables us to get immediately to the answer. And that is, in skipping the couple lines, you see, Kedei shelo yikonsu loregel kishehen minuvolim. The reason for this, for commoners, for standard people that don't fit into the list of the Mishnah, that don't figure in the list of the people in the Mishnah, we want to motivate people to enter the holiday already cleaned up, both bodily and towel and clothing wise. So in order to motivate them and to deter them from delaying till the holiday itself, we tell you it is forbidden to do so during the holiday itself. So of course people won't have that option of waiting for the holiday, and they'll see to it that they enter the holiday looking nice. Now in the brackets, we go over the background for this answer. The Gemara had asked, why is it that other people are not allowed to shave nor wash garments on the holiday? Kedisnan, as we find precedent. Anshei Mishmor v'Anshei Maimud, Asurin l'sapu l'chabes. The Anshei Mishmor and Anshei Maimud were the different members of Klal Yisrael. Include Mishmar and deals with the Kohanim. Anshei Maimud are those we call the representatives coming from the rest of Klal Yisrael who functioned in the Beis Hamikdash and in their communities representing Klal Yisrael during the time that public sacrifices were offered. We're not going to get into any more detail, but it was we'll call it a special service week for the Kohanim and the representatives of Klal Yisrael. We wanted them, and we tell them that during their service week, they are forbidden. Asurim l'saper, they're forbidden in taking haircuts, ulechabis, and washing clothing. There's an internal bracket, so let us skip it initially. The Omar Rabo Bar Chano, Omar Rabo Lozer, my time, why is the prohibition? Kedei shelo yikonsu l'mishmartam k'shemu volim. So that they don't enter their service week in the Beis Hamikdash, or as representatives of Klal Yisrael for the set offering of their sacrifices, minuvolim, dirty, unkempt. So how do we motivate them to clean themselves up, to care for themselves and their clothing beforehand? We tell them that during the week that you're serving in the Beis Hamikdash, you cannot do these things. You cannot take the haircut nor wash the clothing. So people will be motivated to do so beforehand, realizing that they don't have the luxury of waiting for the week itself. Now, we skipped a line. Let's go over the angular brackets. Ubechamishi mutorin, the Anshei Mishmor and Anshei Maimon on Thursday, they are allowed to shave or take the haircut or wash their clothing. They're allowed mitnei kvod haShabbos because of the honor, in order to honor Shabbos, which is coming upon them immediately afterwards. So we see the reason there's precedent for this idea of making sure people don't take advantage of the, we'll say, their week off when they're not at work, but they're serving as in the Beis Hamikdash or as representatives, so they cannot take their haircuts nor wash their clothing during their week of service. So we say, Hochanami, kidei, here too, in the case of the holiday, kidei shali konsu loregel kshem uvolam. So it's not to enter the holiday unkempt and dirty, so that in honor of it, what we saw in the Beis Hamikdash, in honor of their service week in the Beis Hamikdash, or in honor of the holiday, we tell people, you've got to take care of yourself beforehand, because during the week itself, you're not allowed to. As we go on in the Gemara, a new marking appears, and on the side under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we have a double underline featured along with Roman numerals number 1 and 2. They represent, and we note on the side, Shnei Lishonos B'Shelas Rabbi Zera, two versions regarding Rabbi Zera's question, B'Kesher L'Mishelo Hispik L'Skaleach Erev Horegel, someone who didn't have a chance to take a haircut before the holiday. And why? Because during that time he was preoccupied seeking out, searching for a lost item. The Gemara. Boi Rebbe Zera. Avdo loy aveda erev horegel. A person lost an article the day before the holiday. Kevan to onis mutter, since he is under duress, circumstances beyond his control, so we will allow him to take the haircut on the holiday. Oidilma kevan de lo mukha milsa lo. On the other hand, it's not something that's obvious to onlookers as to why he didn't take the haircut before the holiday. People don't know that he was preoccupied searching for a lost item. This is, of course, in contrast with, let's say, someone who just came from abroad or someone who left incarceration. That's well known to people. But the fact that some private individual who simply lost something, and that's the reason he didn't take the haircut before the holiday, because he was preoccupied looking for his lost article, so that could lead to a wrong impression if he were to take the haircut during the holiday. Omar Abaye. Now, notice we have a marking, and that's on the side. The triangles represent Ma'akav Achar Hamasa Umatan. There's a give and take style of Gemara, and in order to keep track of that, so we're using this geometric form whose position can be altered, point facing up and point facing down. So Abaye says, someone who lost an article, we cannot afford to allow him to take a haircut, because Yomru, that will lead to the following. What the Gemara says now is a borrowed expression. It's a saying that involves the laws of Pesach, the laws of Chometz. Generally speaking, if one were, let us say, to bake something and decorate the baked thing with all kinds of, bake it in various kinds of shapes, in order to shape it, it would take a long time, and in the course of that time, it would become chometz, and hence, we'll call them shaped or fancy loaves of baked goods are not allowed on Pesach. What happens, let's say, if you have a mold, and the shape, even as elaborate as it might be, can be created rather rapidly simply by fitting the dough into the mold. So there, in the case of a mold, it won't appear. It will appear as if a lot of time was put into it, but in fact, very little time was put. So it's not a chometz problem. Do we allow those on Pesach? So Abaye says, Yomru, and what we're doing now is we're applying this concept of our reluctance to allowing shaped cakes on Pesach. Even if you happen to have a mold, we're not going to allow you to use it, because people will think that in general you can do such a thing. Likewise, you might have a good reason for not having taken the haircut before Yom Tov, but what applies to you doesn't apply to everyone else, and people will think that if you take the haircut in general, you're allowed to take a haircut on Chol HaMoed, not realizing that you had the special extenuating circumstance of having a lost article. So we'll read the Gemara. Abaye says, Yomru, people will say, Kol hasriken asurin, srike baitus mutarn. Baitus was the baker that had the mold. Others did not have the means of shaping their loaves. Now let's take a look at Rashi in the upper part of the narrow lines. Yomru, kol hasriken asurin, klomar. The baitus, this klomar is a very important word. When you see this in Rashi, it indicates something that isn't, that the explanation is not based on the simple translation, but you have to interpret. Klomar, it means to say, the baitus hayochol lisrog chaloisav b'li shehus. Baitus was able to form his loaves, his decorative loaves, without any additional time. Lefi shoyolo tfus, he had molds, he had forms. But even so, the rabbis did not allow Baitus to use his molds. Mishum de Amri, people will end up saying, that they'll say, well, it's not allowed for everyone else, but it is allowed for him. And that is not a correct approach to halacha. Halacha has to be uniform. And we added before, it could actually lead to a mistake. If people see baitus baking loaves, they'll think that in general you're allowed to form intricate loaves, not realizing that baitus had molds and everyone else doesn't. Since it's not clear to everyone else this person's extenuating circumstances of having lost an item, people will end up saying it's forbidden for everyone except for this person. And as we said, that is a violation of standard halachic formulation of having a standard halacha that applies to all. And we added a second dimension, and that is that it could actually lead to a misunderstanding, where if we're going to make an allowance for him to take haircut during the holiday, people not realizing that he had extenuating circumstances will come to the conclusion that it's that everyone can take a haircut during the holiday. The Gemara asks, Uletameich. Now Rabbi Zeira attempts to refute Abaye's reasoning. Rabbi Zeira says, according to you, Hodim Rav Asi, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan teaches, Kol mi she'ein lo ela choluk echod, muter lechabso b'cholo shemoed. Anyone who is the owner of one choluk, a choluk is a garment, he owns one garment, he is allowed to wash out his clothing, his singular garment, on chol hamoed. Well, according to what you're fearful of, Hosanami, there too, why should it not be said, Yomru, that people will say, Kol hasrikin asurin, srike baitus mutarin, that all the fancy cakes are forbidden, with the exception of baitus. For everyone else, it's forbidden to wash their clothing, and for him, he is allowed. Is that not a problem? And yet we do allow such a person. The Gemara answers, Abaye responds, Ha itmar Allah. Well, it was commented regarding someone who's a owner of a choluk echod, Omar mor bar Rav Ashi, a zoro mochiach olav. A person who is the owner, unfortunately, of only one garment, when he goes to wash his garment, people would wash by rivers. That was common. He would have to wrap himself in something, obviously, as to be covered, obviously not standing naked by the river washing his only article of clothing. So there was an article of in one's wardrobe, there was something called an azor is a type of belt or girdle that one could wrap around himself. So Rashi says azor mochiach halav. The Mishain lo ela choluk echod, Rashi says, anyone who had only one choluk, poshto, he would take it off. Umisatef b'miktarino v'chogro bezor, he would cloak himself in his coat and wear a belt around it. V'oymed umechabes ha-choluk umodia l'chol she'ein lo ela choluk echod. Being that he looked like that, he was wearing a coat with his belt around it, so he would look different, he would look odd, and that would, in effect, announce to all that he is the owner of only one choluk. So no misunderstandings could arise in a case of someone who is choluk echod, and you wouldn't have this approach of everyone thinking that for everyone else it's usur and for him it's mutter type of situation. As you can see, we are at Roman numeral number 2, the second version of this issue, the issue of someone who could not take a haircut before Yom Tov, because immediately before Yom Tov, he was preoccupied with looking for a lost article. Rav Ashi Masni, Rav Ashi teaches this version, Boy Rabbi Zeira, Uman she'ovdo lo yaveda erev horegel mahu. In Uman, Rashi explains Kagon Sapor, someone like a town barber. Shakol Boyim Etzlo, Rashi says, Erev HaRegel, everyone visits his shop before the Yom Tov. V'royin Shavdol Aveda, everyone notices, they see that he's looking for something, that he lost something. V'onosu, V'enu Yochol L'Saper Atzmo. And he didn't have a chance to take his own haircut. So here's a case of someone who is, it's well known that he didn't have a chance to take a haircut before Yom Tov. The issue of Koas Srikin Asurin, the Srike Baitus Mutorin, isn't going to figure over here. So, Kavon, the Uman who, the Gemara asks, do we say that since he's an Uman Mukha Milso, it's obvious? Oi, Dilma, Kavon Delo Mukha Milso Ki Hanochlo. On the other hand, it's not as well known. In other words, his extenuating circumstances are not as well known as those listed in the Mishnah. And therefore, we can't be lenient with regard to the Uman who lost an article. Teku, so this remains unresolved. The Mishnah had mentioned that there are those that are Megalchen B'moyed, for example, Habo Mi Medinas Hayam, someone who came from abroad. Masnisin Delok Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah does not conform to Rabbi Yehuda Desanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. And actually, before we go any further in the Gemara, we should take advantage of the topic heading on the side, the Nosei. Machloikis, we've written on the side, Machloikis Tanoim B'misha Bob B'moyed Medina Sayamson, who came from abroad on Cholomoyed, in Mutur Lo Lizgaleach, can he take a haircut? Hasheila V'hamachloikis, the issue, the controversy, Tluyo B'lomo Yotzo Milachatchila, why did he depart? Why did he depart originally? Lashut, is that would mean to wander around, to tour, something of a strictly optional, personal nature. Is that why he left town originally? The Mizonos means he left for income purposes, that he didn't have what to eat. He needed just to make ends meet, so he left town. Laharviach, a third possibility. Laharviach is to profit more than his basic needs. That's why we've written Yoser mi limizonos. It's to profit more than his basic needs. In other words, we're talking about a person that left town not to tour, but also not to just to get by, but to make more money. Now we turn back to the Gemara. We said that our mission is not like Rebuta, Desanya, Rebuta Omer Habo Midas Hayam Lo Yigaleach. He who came back on Chol HaMoed from abroad shall not take a shave. He shall not cut his hair. Mitnei sheyotza sheloi birshus. Now here we have to be careful not to fall into the translation trap, but rather let's see what Rashi says on this. Mitnei sheyotza sheloi birshus. Rashi, just a couple lines up from here. Klomar. And whenever you see klomar in Rashi, we mentioned this on previous occasions, it means don't translate, but look into it a little bit. So klomar, it's as if it is to say, hayo velo yotza birshus achirim, since he didn't leave through permission granted by others, elo birotzoin atzmoi, he exercised his own option, lav onusu, since his initial departure was something that he decided upon himself, not because of other pressing circumstances. So, therefore, someone who comes back from abroad is not entitled to take haircut. If you want to say it in very simplistic terms, it's as if to say, who said he should have left town in the first place? In other words, he put himself into his own predicament. Before we go further, we have a new marking, a house shape, and on the side under the mivneh, we call this a ma'akav. This is an attempt just to keep track of the back-and-forth nature of the Gemara. Amar Rava. Rava points out that which we mentioned earlier. Lashut, if he left initially for strictly personal or optional reasons. Rashi describes a tourist, someone who's lashut ba'olam, to wander around the world, the lir oisoi, and to see the different sights. So someone like that, divrei hakol aser, everyone will agree, even our Mishnah will agree, if he comes back on Yom Tov, on the Chol HaMoed from his trip, he is not entitled to take a haircut on the grounds that he couldn't have done so beforehand. Who said that you should have taken the tour before the holiday? Number two, Limazoinois Divra HaKoil Mutar. If he left town originally, this person who's coming back on the holiday, if he left town originally simply to make ends meet, to make money for basic food needs, then everyone agrees, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree, that he is allowed to take a haircut during Chol HaMoed. Lo nechleku elo laharvicha. We're told the machlokis that we just learned about Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah concerns someone who left town initially for the purpose of profiting more than his basic needs. Mar midami le kiloshut. Rabbi Yehuda, who is restrictive, compares it to the tourist. Umar midami le kilimazonos. And our Mishnah is more lenient and compares it to the person who had initially left town and is coming back on Chol HaMoed because of mizonos reasons. The inverted house shape indicates a challenge to what we just said. And note, it's a long question. Meisvei, Omar Rebbe. Nirin, now this is a very common format in the Shas, where Rebbe, who represents the last generation of Tanoim, he's a late authority, he will analyze or view earlier authorities and choose when one should apply and when the other should apply. So he says, Rebbe says, Nirin, I like Divrei Rebbe Yehuda, I like Rebbe Yehuda's approach of lo yigaleach, of non, we'll call it the restrictive approach, kishiyotza shelo birshus. The Divrei Chachomim, and I like the Chachomim approach that allows the haircut, kishiyotza birshus. Now, you notice that we're not explaining these terms. My shelo birshus, so what does that mean? E lemo loshut. If you'll say that Rebbe says, I like Rebbe Yehuda's approach, when he left shelo birshus, and that's going to mean when he went to tour, and when you say, I like A's approach, it means I like A over B. In other words, I like Rebbe Yehuda over the Chachomim, indicating that they would argue about that case. And Rebbe is choosing Rebbe Yehuda over the Chachomim. However, if you say that shelo birshus is lashut, v'amris divrei kol aser, but we said before that everyone agrees that it's aser if you come back on the holiday after a tour. So why would Rebbe say that I like only Rebbe Yehuda's approach? Regarding that case, everyone would agree, lo yigaleach. Velo lemazonos, do you want to say that Rebbe Yehuda says that you cannot take a haircut when you left shelo birshus, and that means you went for basic needs? But it was said divrei kol mutar. Everyone agrees that it's allowed. One is allowed to take a haircut during Chol HaMoed if his initial departure was for mizonos purposes. Ela pshito laharvicha. It must be then, it's obvious, that what Rebbe is saying, that I hold lo yigaleach, that is when he went for profiting purposes. Amos Seifa. So let's continue in our analysis. State the Seifa, the latter part of the source. Nirin divrei chachomim kishiyotza birshus. Rebbe likes the chachomim when he, which means that it's mutter to take the haircut, when he went initially birshus, my birshus. What does that mean? Ilemo lemazonos. If you'll say that birshus, and that's the reason Rebbe likes the chachomim over Rebbe Yehuda, and he went for basic needs purposes, ho amris divrei hakol mutter, but you said everyone agrees that a person who comes back on Chol HaMoed after having left for mazonos reasons, they are allowed to take the haircut. Why would Rebbe then opt to hold like the Chachamim under those circumstances when it's not just the Chachamim? Everyone agrees it's mutter. V'ela laharvicha. So then, what must be the case that Rebbe is siding with the Chachamim? It must be the case of profiting. Yeah, but v'amris nirin divrei Yehuda b'ha. But we just got finished saying just before that Rebbe likes Rebbe Yehuda in that case. You'll notice with the markings, what all you have to do is you focus on the dashed underlining. Just a few lines up, we said Pshita Laharvicha, and Rebbe was saying, I like that, I like Rebbe Yehuda's approach, also Legalech. Here is saying that I like the Chachomim approach as Mutter Laharvicha. Well, how could that be? So, that cannot be. So then, what must be the Pshat? So here we look at Rashi. Rashi across from here says, Baha, Nirin Div Rebbe Yehuda Baha, Vekashya De Rebbe Ad Rebbe. If you are going to say that the pshat in the Chachomim that Rebbe likes is Laharvicha, then you'll have an internal stira, an internal contradiction in the approach of Rebbe himself. Initially, that's the first dashed underlining that we had in the Gemara, that Rebbe liked Rebbe Yehuda's approach when he went Laharvicha, meaning no haircut. Ube Seifa Nira Lo Divrei Chachomim Dematirin Harvicha. And in the Seifa, Rebbe all of a sudden likes the Chachomim, that you're allowed when you went initially for profiting purposes. Elavadai ikal lemashma mehocha, delav hochi hu kidakarmis. So that are, you can't have a, it can't be that Rebbe in the same source is contradicting himself. Rather, the beloshut uve mizonos pligi. So this is the end of the question on Rava. What did Rava say? Rava said that given circumstances of Lashut and Mizonos, there would be agreement. That was cases Aleph and Beis of Rava initially, that there would be agreement. Here we see, not so. But rather, in the case of Lashut and Mizonos, even there would be disagreement. Question on Rava. Let's continue. The Gemara response. In other words, this will be Rava's response. Hachi ka'omar. Notice it's a long answer. Nirin divrei Rabbi Yehuda lirabonan. Rabbi Yehuda's approach of no haircut appears acceptable to the Rabbonan. In other words, the Rabbonan accept Rabbi Yehuda. There's no machlokes. When the initial trip was Shalobishus, remind you, and what does that mean? Lashut? For touring purposes. The Chachomim argued with Rabbi Yehuda only in the case where he initially went out for profiting purposes. Avol Lashut? Modu lay. But if his initial trip was for touring purposes, the Chachamim agree with Rebbe Yehuda that it's Usr. That's Divrei Kol Usr. That's what Rava said. That if the initial trip was Lashut, everyone agrees it's Usr. But near in Divrei Rabbanan the Rebbe Yehuda, Kishiyasa Birushus. And the opinion of the Rabbanan that are lenient appears acceptable to Rebbe Yehuda when he initially went for Birushus. Well, my name, what does that mean, Birushus? Limizonos, where he had no means to sustain himself. Shafilu Rabbi Yehuda lo nechlik alehim. Even Rabbi Yehuda didn't disagree with the Chachamim, Ela Laharvicha, where his initial trip was for profiting. Avol limizonos, modu le. But if his initial trip was for basic necessities, everyone agrees that it's mutter. Now, if you're following the write-ins that we did between the lines, you'll notice that that matches what Rava initially had said. And just to go over the source, focusing on the thing, the information between the lines, we in the middle of this source, we had written in Avoloshut Moidule, between the lines we wrote Divrei Kol Osur, that Loshut, everyone agrees, is forbidden. That is what Rava said in Aleph above. And at the end of this source, above Limazonos Module, that means Divrei HaKol Mutter, that's what Rava said above in Beis. As you can see, we have a slash mark indicating that which follows is a new trend of thought. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei, a Mivneh, Nisei is the topic heading, and Mivneh is the structural note. You see a bow tie featured. These bow ties highlight Shnei Lishonos B'Shmuel, two versions of Shmuel, Banosei, regarding the topic of Tiglachas. Cyrus Roshoi, Sheltinok Shinolad. Tiglachas means a haircut of a newborn. there are situations where a child is born with a very with a full head of hair, and we're going to be speaking about cutting that hair on Chol HaMoed. And we'll speak, and when was the kid born? When was this infant born? Well, Aleph Boregel, on the holiday. Beis Lifnei Horegel, before the holiday. He'ora, and we want to point out something ahead of time. B'mahalach ha-gemora yivuror im yesh lomar keklal. In the course of this Gemara, we're going to evaluate if we should say as a rule the following. Now, again, we're going to evaluate whether this is something accurate. What is that? Kol mi sheshayach bo isur tiglachas boregel, shayach bo gamkein dine avevus. That anyone for whom there is a haircut prohibition on the holiday, that type of person is bound to the rules of mourning, to the laws concerning mourning. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. That sounds a bit abstract right now, but we'll see how things unfold as we go on in the Gemara. Omar Shmuel, Koton Hanolad B'Moyed. An infant born on the holiday, and he's born with a full head of hair. Rashi adds, and it seems to bother the child. Rashi says, Sairosho Hametza'aro. So a child who's born on the holiday, Mutur Ligaleach B'moyon Chol HaMoed, you can cut his hair. She'ein L'chobeso Asurim Godol Mizeh. The womb in which the child was is the ultimate example of incarceration. And we said in the Mishnah that someone who left a state of incarceration on Chol HaMoed is allowed to take a haircut then. So the child left his prison, so to speak. He left his prison on the holiday. He couldn't have taken a haircut beforehand. So it's mutter for him to have the haircut take place on the holiday, on Chol HaMoed. B'moed in Meikora lo. Now the Gemara infers from Shmuel that this is only a permission here is only with regard to a child born on the holiday, but not if he's born before the holiday. In other words, if he was born before the holiday, it would be usur to cut his hair on Chol HaMoed. Very simply put, since he was born before the holiday, so you should have given him his haircut then. Why did you wait till the holiday? So he's not allowed to have his hair cut on the holiday. Of course, when we speak about not allowed, we're talking about the parents or whoever's in charge. Adults cannot cut his hair. Mosiv Rav Pinchas. We have a marking. Notice a long question. This takes us down the three lines from the top of Omid Beis. Rav Pinchas asks, Kol elu she'omru mutur legaleach b'moyed, mutur legaleach b'mei evloi. All the examples of those that are allowed to take a haircut during the holiday are allowed to take a haircut during their period of mourning. It should be pointed out that in general, a person who is an ovel is not allowed to take a haircut. He's not allowed to wash his clothing. Let us say someone had left a prison and had become a mourner. In other words, he couldn't have taken a haircut beforehand. So you can have a situation where someone who had just left prison, and as he left prison, he finds himself in a week of mourning. So someone like that, just like we saw that someone who left prison on Chol HaMoed, he couldn't have taken a haircut before, and he's allowed to take a haircut during Chol HaMoed. Someone who left prison and he finds himself in a state of mourning, he couldn't have taken the haircut while he was in prison. So even though during the state of mourning a person is not allowed to take a haircut, he will be allowed to take a haircut. Now we can infer from this rule, ha asur legaler b'moed asur legar b'me'evlo. Someone who though is forbidden to take a haircut during Chol HaMoed is likewise will be forbidden to take a haircut if he is in a state of mourning. So we're trying to establish a rule, in other words, a type of equivalency. If it's a person that's mutter to take a haircut during Chol HaMoed, a person under similar circumstances would be able to take a haircut during his mourning period, if forbidden on Chol HaMoed, forbidden during the mourning. Ve'i Amris, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Ve'i Amris Koton Is Be Plukto. If you say that with regard to an infant, Plukto means distinction. A distinction is made between a child born before the holiday, where we'll say born before holiday, usher during holiday haircut wise. Born during holiday, mutter haircut wise. So if you're going to say that, so that namely that a child born before the holiday would be usher to have his haircut done on the holiday, nimseis avelus neheges bekotan. The result of the equation that we made would be that child born before the mourning period, during the mourning period, he would not be able to have his hair cut. And you know what the result of that is? The result of that is to say that the laws of mourning apply to a minor. V'hotanya, but we have learned Mekaren Lekot Mitnei Agmas Nefesh. One of the rules of mourning involves tearing of clothing. We tear the clothing of a child in order to arouse public sympathy. That's Agmas Nefesh, to apply, arouse public feeling of remorse. But not because of Avel rules, otherwise stated, rules of mourning don't apply to a minor. But, now just to repeat ourselves, if you're going to make the distinction that was made at the bottom of Omid Aleph, based on Shmuel's rule, so you're going to end up saying that a child born before the mourning period, you can have an infant whose parent died, then during the mourning period, the child's hair cannot be cut. You're then telling me that the rules of mourning apply to a child, and that can't be. Omar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi defends Shmuel's teaching and says, Mikotoni ho asurin. When Shmuel taught his rule, does he teach it with the inference as part and parcel of the rule? No. That inference, which led us to the question, wasn't stated explicitly. Dilma, it could very well be. Yesh mehen osur, v'yesh mehen mutter. We can say as follows. Regarding other people, so the rule applies. However, there are exceptions. There are those where the rule will not apply. For example, the katan, the child born before the holiday. Someone like that, we will say, regarding holiday rules, haircut restriction. Regarding avel rules, even though the child was born before the mourning period, haircut will nevertheless be allowed. Amemar v'itemo Rav Shisha Breid Rav Idi Masni Hochi. Here we have the second version in presenting Shmuel. Omar Shmuel Koton Mutter Legalchoy B'Moyed. A child, his hair can be cut on Chol HaMoed. Lo Yishna Neilad B'Moyed, Lo Yishna Neilad Meikara. No distinction whether he was born before the holiday or the infant was born on the holiday. Amar Rav Pinchas, and note here we have, instead of a long question, we have a long point. Amar Rav Pinchas, Af Anan Nami Tanina. Note the markings. The triangle appears on the side under our Mivneh heading Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. with the point facing up, Nisayon Lisaya. This is an attempt to support Shmuel's second version, and the inverted triangle is a rejection. So we want to bring support to Shmuel's teaching according to version Beis. Well, what does our Mishnah say? Kol Elu Shamru. We should say, what does the Tanaic source say? Kol Elu Shamru Mutar Legalech B'Moyed Mutar Legalech B'Mei Evlo. He for whom we allow haircuts during the Moed, the Chol HaMoed, we will allow haircuts for the equivalent case during the mourning period. Ha asurin legalech b'moed. However, for those that it's forbidden to take a haircut during the holiday, the equivalent case during mourning, asurin legalech b'mei evlo. E amris katan osur. If you're going to say, unlike Shmuel in this version, the Beis version of Shmuel, the child is always allowed to have his hair cut. But if you're going to say otherwise, that a child born before the holiday cannot have the hair cut done during the holiday, nimseis avelus neheges bekotan. You're going to then end up saying that the rules of mourning apply to a katan, to an infant, and that is not so. Vitanya, mekarin the katan mitnei agmas nefesh. We rend the clothing of the child in order to arouse public sympathy, public agmas nefesh. But not because of avel rules, because with regard to a child, the rules of avelus don't apply. And as a result of saying that, with regard to a child, his hair can always be cut. So we see a support for Shmuel Beis, the second version of Shmuel, and his teaching. Just to review that point, according to Shmuel, according to the Beis version, the second version, child's hair can always be cut. So therefore, we won't run into a situation where we'll end up saying that there are times that his hair cannot be cut, i.e. during the mourning period. We certainly don't want to say that, because then we'll be in effect saying that the rules of mourning apply to a child when they do not. Omar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi rejects this support. Mi kotoni, does the inference from the Tanaic source that was read really apply? Was it stated explicitly? Does it say ho asurin, namely those that are usur during the moed are usur during the mourning period? Dilmo yesh mehen usur, v'yesh mehen mutter. There might very well be those that we would say it's usur. That is certainly true with regarding other people, that if it's usur during the holiday, it'll be usur during the mourning period. V'yesh mehen mutter, there are examples, though, of those that will be mutter during the ovel period, even though it in fact is usur during the holiday. So, now having said that, describing the katan as, yes, forbidden during the holiday, but allowed during the Ovel period, we're saying something contrary to Shmuel. Because Shmuel in the Beis version is saying that with regard to a holiday, children can always have their hair cut, whether born before the holiday or born on the holiday. So that at this point we're saying, not so, with regard to a katan, if born before the holiday, so his hair cannot be cut on the holiday. However, with regard to Avelus, the rule, the inference was never stated explicitly, so we'll end up saying that even though a katan born before the holiday is usur to have his hair cut, katan born before mourning set in can, yes, have his hair cut, because of the consideration that the rules of mourning don't apply to children. So with that, we've rejected the support to Shmuel. As you can see, a slash mark appears, and now we embark on a very long sugya, daf-wise. On the side of the Gemara, you can see we have a nosei, mivne heading, and an indication that this discussion goes till tes vav amid beis. And when we say this discussion, we refer to the marking scheme that we have, continues till tes vav amid beis. Technically speaking, the end of the Gemara, Tes Vav Amid Beis, continues to the top of Tes Zayin Amid Aleph, but as far as markings are concerned, the scheme that we present now will last for quite a while. Now, for those who are not, we'll say, Gemara markings initiated, and you take a superficial look at this, at the balance of this daf, and you skim ahead, let us say, to Tes Vav Amid Aleph, and Tes Vav Amid Beis, and as we said, this is it's a long discussion, so it covers quite a bit of Gemara material. You'll notice that your Gemara pages are plastered with markings. You might ask, what's the benefit of so many markings? So this is one of our showcase examples. What we will be seeing are three called categories, and they're highlighted with a double underline. They include Ovel, a mourner, Menudah, someone who is excommunicated, Mitzora, someone who has experienced Tzoras. Tzoras is a form of it's a skin color change that results in Tumah, as is featured in the Chumash Parshas Tazria, and a bit in Parshas Mitzora in the middle of Sefer Vayikra. So we have three categories of people: Ovel, Menudah, and Mitzora. Regarding each one of these people, there are 14 separate halachos, laws, that are going to be discussed. We want to know, regarding each one of these three individuals, what is the halacha regarding 14 different halachas. So in simple arithmetic terms, you have how many, we'll call, variables in this Gemara? You've got 3 times 14. Each person, the Ovel and 14 halachas, the Menudah and 14 halachas, and Mitzor and 14 halachas. 3 times 14. Well, for those who are graduates of advanced mathematics, 3 times 14 should come out to 42. That means there will be 42 different points that figure in this discussion, and as you look over your Daf Gemara, and you want to, let's say, quickly identify where is any specific point discussed, having these markings will be of invaluable assistance. The 14 halachas are highlighted by using a diamond. So in addition, in this particular sukkah, we've marked a little bit more than we usually do. And by that I refer to a marking in the margin where you'll find diamonds in surrounding numbers. So immediately, you can see a diamond with a number 1 in it. In the margin, means to the side of the Tosfos, and under that the word Regel. Regel is the holiday. Toward the bottom of the page, you see a number 2 in a diamond with the word Tisporis written under that. Rules of haircuts. If you skim ahead to Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph, you'll see that we maintain this marking scheme down the side of the Gemara in the margin. Numbers 3 through 9 appear on page on Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph, 3 being Atifas Harosh, which has to do with wrapping one's head in a cloth, or with his talis, having called head covered or wrapped. Number 4, Hanochas Tfilin, regarding laws of wearing tefillin. So we'll be discussing, does an ovel on his first day wear tefillin? Does a person who's excommunicated wear tefillin? Does a metzora wear tefillin? And number five, Sheila Shalom, greetings. Number six, Divrei Torah, learning of Torah. Does an ovel, is he allowed to study Torah? Is a menuda entitled to study Torah? Is a metzora? And that this marking, we say, continues on and on till Tes Vav Amud Beis, and at each point where you see the number in a diamond, that's where the new halacha is introduced. Under each diamond heading, we have to see, we try to discover where there is a double underline. It's at that point that we are featuring the individual, either the Ovel, the Menuda, the Matur, and the Gemara will be following that order straight through. So just by way of general exercise, if you have Daf, let us say, Daf Tesvav in front of you, and you want to know what is the rule of a Menuda regarding Divrei Torah. So all you have to do is you skim ahead to where you see Divrei Torah featured. It happens to be number 6. We also have all 14 halachas listed right here on page Yud Dalem Beis, and you can see Divrei Torah is number 6, so you're going to look for number 6, and you look for the double underline featuring the Menuda, and you can see there on Daf Tezov and Aleph toward the lower part of the page the rule concerning a Menuda and the study of Torah. Likewise, what about the rules concerning Kfiya Samita? So Kfiya Samita has to do with inverting one's bed. If you want to know what is the rule regarding a Metzora and Kfiyas Hamita, so you find number 9 where Kfiyas Hamita is discussed, you find the double underline where Metzora is mentioned, and there you'll see the Gemara make reference to the Metzora and that particular point, the Kfiyas Hamita. Technically speaking, just for the sake of accuracy, the Metzora and Kfiyas Hamita will be discussed at the second, third line from the top of Daf Tezvav Amud Beis. The Kfiyas Hamita discussion starts at the bottom of Tezvav Amud Aleph, where the number 9 appears in the margin in the diamond. Hopefully we've given some feeling for why the seeming extensive use of markings, once again, simply because there are 42 variables as we go through the sugya. Here on Daf Yud Aleph Beis, basically only 2 of the 14 halachas are discussed. Let's now continue in the Gemara itself. And we mentioned the number 1 is a reference to Regel. So the regel means the holiday. Ovel eino noheg aveluso boregel. A person who is lost a close relative does not observe the practices of mourning during the holiday. Shenemar, the pasuk says, v'somachto b'chagecha, you shall rejoice on your holiday. Now, when we speak about mourning, there are 2 scenarios. There's a case of someone who had been a mourner just prior to the holiday. Just a couple days before the holiday, someone's close relative died. And they, what we commonly use the term sit shiva. And then the holiday arrives. So the holiday stops, cancels the need for sitting shiva. There's another scenario of a person who, lo aleinu, experiences mourning, in other words, the death of a close relative, during the holiday itself. So the Gemara makes reference to those 2 scenarios. Aleph, e avelus de meikorahu. Meikorah means beginning. The avelus set in before the holiday set in. Osi asei de rabbin, vedochi asei de yochid. Asei means a positive command. A positive command affecting the public, namely rejoicing on the holiday. That overrules, it pushes aside, it casts aside, it cancels asei diyachad, positive command of affecting the private, the individual, namely his requirement of observing mourning. Rashi gives the source for that, but what whatever you say, the power of public rejoicing supersedes the power of the positive command affecting the individual to experience the practice of mourning. The Gemara continues, V'i avelus v'hashtahu, if it's a current avelus, meaning an avelus that arises during the holiday itself, lo osi asei diyachid v'dochi asei derabam, there is no power in the private positive command of rules, of observing the rules of mourning. It doesn't have the power to overrule, to push aside the command of public rejoicing. So what have we done in the last couple lines? We analyzed does an avel practice the rules of avelus during the holiday? Second double underline, menuda manu maushi inog niduyo baregel. A menuda, someone who has been excommunicated. Now, if you're asking why does excommunication take place to begin with, so there are many different reasons for nidui. Nidui, it's a form of excommunication. One of them will be featured in the Gemara as it unfolds, and it has to do with someone who is summoned to a court case, to being judged, and he does not heed the judgment. In other words, he makes a mockery, we'll say, of the court's ruling. So the Gemara asks, menude mahu shinhoig niduyoi peregel? A person who has been menude, does he observe the rules that apply to nidui? Now, we didn't spell out what the rules are. Suffice it to say, there's a list of rules that apply to a person in excommunication. Is he bound by those rules when the holiday arrives? As you can see, there's a new marking, a house form, one of our geometric forms that allows us to keep track of a give and take, a back and forth structure. And on the side of the Gemara, we have a mivneh, a structural note, where a house is featured. It's called ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. With the house form facing upwards, the point, that is, of the house facing upwards, that indicates noheg boregel nidui, or that nidui is noheg during the regel. And the inverted house will indicate eino noheg. So we'll try to keep track of the back and forth as we go through this discussion. The question was asked then, do the rules of nidui, of being excommunicated, apply during the holiday? Alternatively, when the holiday arrives, so the rules of nidui then would be suspended. Amongst the different rules of nidui, of being excommunicated, is, we'll say, the limitation of how much he can deal with people in terms of selling things and engaging in practice and in business dealings. So, Omar of Yosef, here we're going to try to show that nidui is noheg boregel. Toshma. And notice this attempt lasts a number of lines. Donin dine nefoshos v'dine makos v'dine momenos. We judge in the court during Chol HaMoed, capital cases, dine nefoshos, dine makos, these are cases that would result in the violator receiving lashing, and dine momenos, monetary matters. So we judge cases, v'ilo tzayas dino, and if the defendant is someone who, but tzayas means to heed or listen to, if he's a loy tzayas dino, he's someone that does not heed court rulings, mishamtinon lay. Mishamtinon is dashed online because that's the word that corresponds to nidui for our purposes. It's a form of excommunication. So part and parcel of this Tanaic source that says that judgment takes place during Chol HaMoed, we add, the Gemara adds, he who doesn't heed the judgment is to be excommunicated. The isalta daitoch einoi noheg nidui boregel, if one were to think that the rules of nidui are suspended upon the arrival of the holiday, i.e. someone who had been in nidui, when the holiday comes, his restrictions are suspended. How could then we understand what we just said? Mind you, Mishumis ve'osi me'ikora, osi regel dochile, someone who had been in shamto, or nidui, excommunicated, the holiday according to the Havamina. In other words, the holiday, we should say according to what were the attempt here, if you are going to say that the rules of Nidui wouldn't apply, then you're basically telling me that someone who had been in Nidui, with the oncoming of the holiday, the rules are suspended. Osi regel dochile, the regel, the holiday comes and suspends and casts and pushes aside the Nidui. Ashto mishantino le anan, would we now be able to put him into a new Nidui? Mind you, a pre-existing Nidui is pushed away, so logic would tell you then that certainly to impose a new Nidui would not be possible. And yet, what do we see? We said that a new Nidui is possible. That would therefore indicate that with the onset of the holiday, that the rules of Nidui are not suspended. But in simple terms, Nidui is no Hague Boregel. Let's just repeat that point again. Nidui is no Hague, is binding during the holiday, and that with the onset of the holiday, someone who had been excommunicated, the rules are maintained. They are not suspended. Omar le Abaye. Abaye, you notice, is classified as a dechia, rejection. And this takes a few lines to develop. Rav Yosef's point was based on the source that said Donin Dinei Nefoshes, etc. Abaye says, looking at that source, who says that it's talking about judging cases and coming to a conclusion that would then put the defendant on the spot? Abaye says, "V'dilma le'iyuni bedine." Maybe that source only refers to, when it says donin, judging, it doesn't mean coming to a conclusion, an actual recitation of the verdict, but and with that, the inference of someone who doesn't listen would be put into excommunication. Not so. All that source is saying that we start looking into the case on Chol HaMoed, capital cases, lashing cases, financial cases. That's iyuni bedine. Let's read that in the Gemara again. Omar le Abaye, v'dilmo iyuni bedine. Maybe all that it's saying is that during Chol HaMoed we look into the cases, but not actual verdict recitation. Ti lo teima hachi. If you're not going to say like this, but rather verdict recitation, Dine Nefoshos Dekotoni, in the source we read, mentions capital cases. Hochi Nami Dekatlin Lay? Are you to understand that means that we judge capital cases all the way to the end, and that we would kill the guilty party on Chol HaMoed? The judges, there are 23 judges that sit in a capital case, the judges will then be restricted from holiday enjoyment. Desanyo, as is taught in the following source. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Minayin leSanhedrin, Shehargu haSanefesh, Shein Tomin Kol Oysa Hayom. From where do we know that a court that finds someone guilty and punishable by death, that when they kill him, the Sanhedrin rules up for his death, and the defendant is executed, that the members of the court, she'ain toyam in kosim, they don't eat anything that day. They remain fasting for the rest of the day. Talmud Lomar, lo'y soichlu al hadam. That is a pasuk in the Torah, which for our purposes means that after someone is killed by the court, the members of the court do not eat the rest of the day. So that to suggest that the source above that Rav Yosef originally quoted, where it says "Dolin Dinei Nefoshes," that means you go all the way, but that would run counter to Simchas Yom Tov. Elo Liyunei B'dinei. Rather, the source above that said "Dolin Dinei Nefoshes" means looking into the case without reaching a verdict. Hachinami, so too with regard to the dine momentous, the financial cases, where if a person doesn't listen to the verdict, he would be censured, he would be put into excommunication. That's not going to happen over here, because all it means is liyune bedine, looking into the case, listening to the various testimony, but not reaching a conclusion. Being that there's no reaching of conclusion, therefore, there's not going to be any grounds for being put into excommunication. So from the source above that Rav Yosef cited, Don and Dinei Nefoshes, we cannot see from there any issue of the practice of excommunication, because the source is not dealing with cases that reach conclusion, that would thereby result in the possibility of someone being excommunicated. Omar Lay, notice the house form flips back up, where Rav Yosef responds, Im Kain, according to your approach, the way you, Abaye, are explaining the source, Nimseis Ma'ane Es Dino, you're causing Inui Hadin. Inui Hadin is a situation where the judges know what the verdict is, and they hold off on it, resulting in the pain of the defendant in not receiving his punishment, his due punishment, immediately. This explanation is something that requires further analysis. And based on what it says in Maseches Sanhedrin about the topic of Inui Hadin, that Inui Hadin really is not Shayach, isn't even a problem to begin with until there is a final verdict stated, but that is something that Tosfos himself deals with. For our purposes, though, we're describing a situation, or at least Abaye is describing a situation, which raises the problem of Inui Hadin, where the court goes into session, analyzes the case, the judges might very well have reached a conclusion in their minds, but the defendant is not going to receive his punishment immediately, and that is improper. So Rav Yosef continues explaining that we can use this source of Don and Dinei Nefoshes above, etc., to come to my conclusion, and at the same time avoid the problem of Simchas Yom Tov. So he says as follows, Ela osu mitzafra, the judges in a capital case will come in the morning, Ma'ayne b'dinei, they'll start analyzing his case, Va'ayli, va'achli, v'shosu, kule yoma. We're dealing again during Chol HaMoed. They will, after starting to look into the case in the morning, they haven't reached a conclusion yet. The person hasn't been executed yet. They can eat all day and drink all day. And then they'll get together right before sundown. The Gamrinon Ladine Vekatlule, they'll then issue the verdict and execute the defendant, having eaten all day without any compromising of Simchas Yom Tov, and at the same time we are describing reaching a verdict on Chol HaMoed, and then that has ramifications to the case of Nidui of Din. If you have, let's say, in the case of Dine Momentous, where a person is charged by a court verdict and doesn't comply, he will be put into excommunication on Chol HaMoed, enabling Rav Yosef to reach the conclusion that he did, that the dinim of Nidui are binding during Chol HaMoed. Omar Abaye comes back with his own take on things, and that's why you see you have an inverted house marking. Toshma umenude shetiru loy chachomim. Now Abaye's understanding of that phrase is that all menudes, all excommunicated people, have their excommunication suspended when the holiday comes. So he wants to use this citation from our Mishnah to prove that Nidui is not Noheg during the holiday. Omar Rava. Rava, though, comes back and says, you can't conclude that. Mi kotoni shehitiruhu chachamim. Grammatically, does it say that niduis are suspended? Hitiruhu chachamim means that niduis are suspended. Shehitiru loi chachamim kotoni. The Mishnah is describing a very specific case of a person who had been excommunicated, and during the holiday, this person sought out a rescission of his excommunication. The ozal upaise lebal dine v'osi kami derabanan v'shorule. A person who had been excommunicated. The Mishnah is talking about a case, a specific case, but not to suggest that Nidui is totally suspended when it comes to holidays, but someone who during the holiday sought out the person that he had wronged, which resulted in his excommunication, and trying to atone for himself, he appeased the wronged party and then approached the rabbis to have his own Nidui suspended, and they suspended his nidui. Someone like that, in fact, can take the haircut during the holiday, but not an across-the-boards general reprieve for all nidui victims or nidui guilty ones. Mitzora, Maushiani Tzoroso Beregel. Again, a regel question. And we're asking about, do the rules of Tzoras apply during the holiday? And specifically, a Mitzora is someone who is sent out of the community. He's called, he's sent Chutz Lamachne. Can he rejoin the community during the holiday? Omar Abaye, Toshma. Again, we have a give and take structure of Gemara. Notice on the side the Mivneh, the triangle will serve as our Ma'akav, our attempt to keep track of the back and forth style. So with the triangle point facing up, pointing upwards, Noheg Tzoras Beregel. That means that the rules of Tzoras will apply during the holiday. The lo yigaleach, and he won't be able to take a haircut. And that's one of the other rules applying to Tzoras. We mentioned the issue of being sent out of the community. And in the inverted triangle is eino noheg, that the rules of Tzoras would not be binding during the holiday, and he would be able to take his hair cut. Omar, so let's read the double underline again. Mitzor ma shiyani tzurasu beregel. Omar Abaye toshma. And here we are attempting to say that the rules are binding of tzurasu are binding during the holiday. It says v'hanozir v'amitzora ha'oila mitum aso l'tarasai. A nozir or a mitzora that when the holiday came they became Tohor, ha be made tumaso. If they didn't become tohor yet, if they're still in their state of defilement, nohig. The rules of Tzoras will be binding during the holiday. The Gemara rejects this. Lo mi bayo komar. The structure of this Tanaic source of the Mishnah that says nozer mitzoro the mitzoro regel is in the I don't have to tell you structure, the lo mi bayo structure, which is a commonly acceptable way of learning Mishnayos. Of course, the Gemara has to tell you thusly, and here it is. Lo mi bayo be made tumaso. I don't have to tell you that during his defilement period, if it coincides with the holiday, the lo nohig, that the rules of Tzoras will not be binding. Avol l'taharosoi. However, if you have a mitzvah that became tahor during the holiday, nigzar, I would have thought that he should not be allowed to take a haircut. Let's make a gzera, a restriction. Let's impose a restriction. And why would you impose a restriction? Shemo yashe korbanoisov. He might delay in the bringing of the sacrifices that accompany the taking of the haircut. I should say more accurately that a nazir who achieves tara, before he can bring the requisite sacrifices that accompany the end of the defilement period, he must, prior to the bringing of the sacrifices, take a haircut. So there was room to think that if we will allow him to take the haircut during Chol HaMoed, he might hold off on bringing the sacrifices till the last day of the holiday, and it's not allowed. One is not allowed to bring personal sacrifices on the last day of the holiday. So I might have thought that someone that achieves Tahara during Chol HaMoed, we should restrict him from taking the haircut so as not to leave an opening for him to bring the sacrifices later on at the end of the holiday. Komash Malon, the Mishnah reveals to us that even that case, even the person who achieved Tahara is yes allowed to take the haircut. So that at this point in the Gemara, as far as a mitzorah are the rules of tzoras, which include non-haircut, do the rules of tzoras apply during the holiday? We might very well reason they do not apply. Omar Rova Toshma. And again, you see a triangle point facing up, an attempt to show that the rules of tzoras, yes, apply during the holiday. The pasuk says, V'hatzoruah, l'rabbeis kohen gadol. This comes to include a kohen gadol, that a kohen gadol, the chief, the high priest, is also subject to the rules of tzoras, that he can become a mitzora. We know that a Kohen Gadol throughout the year, every day of a Kohen Gadol is like a holiday for a commoner. Disnan, and how do we know that? There's a rule in the following source. It says, Kohen Gadol makriv oinein ve'eino oichel. An onain is the initial day of mourning. In general, a person who has an onain, even if he's a kohen, is not allowed to serve in the base hamigdosh. An exception to that is the kohen gadol, because the kohen gadol is viewed as being in a constant holiday mode. Being that he's in a constant holiday mode, we see the source just before that said that the rules of tzoras apply to a kohen gadol. This then can show us shma mino noheg tzoraso beregel, that a mitzora is bound to the rules of tzoras even during the holiday. The kohen gadol being the equivalent of holiday. By the way, the source we read, Kohen Gadol makrivoni veino ochel, just technically speaking, eino ochel means even though he's allowed to offer sacrifice, he's not allowed to eat sacrifices when he is an onein. But the mere fact that he's able to offer the sacrifices, contrary to any other case of onein or any other kohen, that shows us that the Kohen Gadol is in a constant state of, we'll call it holiday mode, holiday state of being. So as such, the Kohen Gadol is representative of the concept of regel, and we see also that the rules of tzoras apply to the Kohen Gadol, i.e. apply during holiday. So this is conclusive. That's why the Gemara says Shema Mino. Now, at this point, the Gemara starts on halacha number 2. And if you go back to the list, you can, unless you look at the side of the Gemara, we're dealing with the issue of haircuts. Haircuts for, well, of course, for the ovel, for the menuda, and for the mitzora. Ovel osir betisporas. A person who is in a state of mourning is forbidden to take a haircut. Midika'omar lehu rachmono lefnei Aaron. From the fact that the Torah addressed the sons of Aaron. The sons of Aaron lost their brothers Nodav and Avihu. And it says, and of course by losing a close relative like a brother, so the remaining sons, Elozer and Isomar, they are mourners. And it, the Torah says regarding them, Rosheichem al tifra'u. Don't allow your hair to grow. That means you must take a haircut. And the Torah is speaking to them in as an exception to the rule. And we infer, and maybe you can see that in the grammar, where the pasuk says, Rosheichem, your hair you shall not allow to grow. Meaning, you, even though you're mourners, must have your hair cut. Michlal de kule alma, we infer that with regard to everyone else, usur, that a mourner is forbidden. So this is conclusive regarding a mourner is forbidden in taking haircuts. Now at the top of Tesvav Amid Aleph, we continue with Minudin Umitsoyroin Mahein Betisporas. People who are excommunicated or people in a state of tsaras, what is their law regarding taking haircuts? Toshma. So we introduce a Tanaic source. The opening line is that which is of concern to us. The balance of the source is not of concern to us, and that's why you'll notice, if you just glance ahead, you'll notice a bracketed section indicating something to be de-emphasized. So the source says, "Minudin u'mitzoroin asurin l'saper u'lechabes." People who are excommunicated or in a state of tzaras are not allowed to take haircuts. Likewise, not allowed to launder their clothing. And here the bracketed section is explained with the starred mark on the starred comment on the side. Sograim elu, we've written on the side. Sograim elu enom l'shem diluk. This isn't for skipping purposes. Elo lahar, which is the general use of our brackets and Gemara markings. But here we're not going to be skipping. Elo laharos, but rather to demonstrate shirak horesha chiyuni l'suyosel, just to demonstrate that the opening line is what's which is relevant or germane to our discussion. The Rashi on the second line from the top, Menuda Shemes, he says that this section is Sefer Debraisa, simply the end, the balance of the Tanaic source. But as we indicated, Rashi's comment is elucidating insofar as that we don't need the balance regarding our question of haircuts for Menudin and Mitzoroyim. That having been said, we continue with the source, Menudin Shemes, a person who died while he was still in a state of Nidui. In other words, he didn't seek atonement to relieve the reason for his initial excommunication. So he died as a menude. Based in Seiklinus Aroino, the court stones his coffin. Rebuta Omer, Lo Shiamidu Alov Gal Avonim Kegalo Yishel Ocha, not as if to say that they pile up a pile of stones as they did in the case of Ochan. Ochan refers to a story featured in the book of Joshua and Yoshua, Perek Zion, which we don't have to get into right now, but there was an incident over there where a pile, a coffin was had a pile of stones placed upon it. So not like that case, but rather Elo based in Sholchin Manichin Evan Gedol al Aroinoi, based in sends emissaries and arranges for a large stone to be placed on the menuda that just died, the menuda, the person who had died in excommunication, the lamdecha, to show us, to teach us, shekolam esnadu, meis meniduyo, anyone who was put into excommunication and dies in that state, based in soiklin es arono. The court stones his coffin as we just described. And you can see that at this point in the Gemara, the third issue of or third halacha of Atifas Harosh comes under discussion. And again, if you follow the double underlining, you'll see that Ovel and then later Menuda and following that Mitzora will be analyzed. Before we conclude today's shiur, let us remind that if you wish to be in touch with us and wish to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.